Jens Søring recently turned 50. He spent more than half of his life behind bars for killing Derek and Nancy Hasem, the parents of his first love, Elizabeth, also an honor student at UVA.
Mr. Hasem was stabbed 36 times. His throat was cut.
Ricky Gardner was the lead investigator in that case.
All major structures in his neck was severed, a carotid jugular, windpipe. And Ms. Hasem, the same.
Gardner was convinced that Søring acted alone. But before the rookie detective took charge, the case was assigned to a seasoned officer named Chuck Reed.
Chuck Reed does not think that Jens Søring committed the crime, thinks that Elizabeth was at the house along with one or more other people.
That's Søring's lawyer, Steve Rosenfield. He learned about Reed from a new German documentary called The Promise. It also features an FBI profiler who recently died. His name was Ed Sulzbach.
Mrs. Hasem is wearing her nightgown with a robe. And it occurred to me that Mrs. Hasem would never entertain strangers in such attire. We're dealing with somebody's close to these people.
Jens had met the Hasems only once for a few minutes. The profiler settled on Elizabeth as his prime suspect, but his report was never shared with Søring's defense team as required by law, and the FBI now says it does not have the document. Before he came to trial, Søring had actually confessed to the crime. Later, he said he did that to protect Elizabeth. He was the son of a low-level German diplomat and assumed he'd be sent back to his homeland for trial. Germany rarely imposes long sentences for young killers. The documentary bolsters Søring's claim, sharing excerpts from letters Jens and Elizabeth wrote to each other after their arrest.
Promise me, Jens, whatever it takes now, promise me you will not let me ruin your life. I've seriously f***ed up on mine. Don't let me destroy yours. I would kill myself if I discovered you were compromising yourself for me.
You are in a horrible position, more horrible than mine. Let me clear a couple of things up. Erase all written evidence of Bedford. Cross it out. That's all I've time for, sweetie. Always trust me. Always love me.
I've been upset, scared, lonely, worried. You won't leave me to take the rap alone.
If I go to Germany and get convicted, I will go away for only a few years. Your parole board will give you early parole, especially when they take my early release into consideration. So in a few years, we'll hopefully both be out and together. Trust me and go with the flow.
Additional support comes from a new report written by a British expert on police interrogations. Again, attorney Steve Rosenfield.
He spent 5 months reviewing hundreds and hundreds of pages of trial transcript, looking at diagrams, pictures, consulting with other experts, and he concluded that Jens Søring's confession was unreliable.
Unreliable in part because Søring got key details wrong, claiming, for example, that Mrs. Hasem was wearing blue jeans, when in fact she wore a paisley robe. Unreliable, too, because Søring, who had fled to England with Elizabeth when they became suspects, was kept in isolation during his interrogation, not allowed to consult with a lawyer.
Unheard of in this country as being lawful, and yet we have the report that we will be submitting to the governor in which they put an entry in the log that says Søring is to be kept incommunicado. And Søring asked to talk to a solicitor and was denied that opportunity.
At the time of the crime, DNA analysis was not possible, but the state's crime lab identified 4 blood types at the scene. Type A was Mr. Hasem's, AB was Mrs. Hasem, type B was Elizabeth, and then there was type O. Prosecutors made much of the fact that Søring is type O. So, by the way, is 48% of the population. 7 years ago, the crime lab tested 11 of those original blood samples and found no DNA from Søring. The technician didn't know what types of blood she was testing. But former detective Ricky Gardner claimed none of the samples were O. This summer, Jens Søring learned otherwise. Because Virginia bans recording at the Buckingham Correctional Center, we spoke with him by phone.
I thought, why not cross-reference the 1985 blood typing test results against the 2009 DNA test results?
He found 2 type O samples that had, in fact, been DNA tested.
So what we know now is that Derek and Nancy Hasem's killer had type O blood. And we know from the DNA test results that this person with a type O blood was a male because it had an XY chromosome. But we know with equal certainty that this male type O person was not me. I'm completely and 100% eliminated.
In other words, the DNA sequence of the type O blood found at the scene of the crime was different from the DNA sequence of Jens Søring's blood. And there are other reasons to believe someone else committed the crime for which Søring has served 31 years. We'll look at those in our next report. I'm Sandy Houseman.